Hi everyone, welcome to the Real Estate Funds podcast. Today we have Danny Flores, who has scaled his real estate company from 50 to over 2,000 units in just 2 years. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Thanks, Weston. Glad to be here.
Course. Yeah, glad to have you here. So yeah, share more about your background and how you got in this position of scaling your company so quickly.
Okay, yes, thanks. Thanks so much for that. My initial career started in construction early on, very early on, for about 16 years. So I was actually a builder. And I did residential building and I did heavy construction. That's more like heavy equipment, bridges, freeways, roadways. And then I decided that I wanted to change careers. I knew that I liked numbers. And so I wanted to go into finance, basically. I figured if I'm going to study, go back to school, do something different, I might as well do something where I can actually move up in my profession. And so I was able to get into USC, graduated with a finance degree, and actually became a banker. So we start when I was banking, we did loans between 25 million to over $1 billion. We actually syndicated them from bank to bank. But my real passion was apartment buildings. I always wanted to buy apartment buildings. I didn't have the money. I was saving to be able to do that. And in the year 2000, I was able to save $64,000 and buy my first fourplex out here in California, the city of Norwalk. And that property cash flowed right out of the gate. So I kept saving money and used some of that cash flow to accelerate my savings. And about 2 years later, I was able to sell that property for $100,000 profit. I did a 1031 exchange to a bigger property, but at the same time, I was able to buy another smaller property. And for about 15 years, I kind of did that with my own money. And then I had a friend that said, he goes, "Why don't you syndicate?" I was like, "What is that?" And so he says that his mom and dad made their money investing with a syndicator who would buy these projects and turn their money very quickly, and they made their money that way. And also before that, in 2006, I started a property management company, which I actually sold about 4 years. So as I started trying to learn about syndicating, I felt really comfortable in doing larger deals because I had a construction background that helped me with the renovations, dealing with the contractors, planning, figuring out what the cost was going to be, and figuring out the schedules. And with my finance background, I felt comfortable going out and doing these larger loans. And then I just had to learn the syndication piece. So what I did is I hired a coach for a year in 2018. For a year, I was coached and learning how to raise money. And then in 2019, we kind of went out and started buying larger property, and the rest is basically history.
Yeah, that's a great background. What types of deals do you guys pursue, and then how do you structure those? Are you the main sponsor? Do you invest with other sponsors, maybe co-GP? What types of deals do you
Yes,
guys do?
so we stayed basically in one lane. We want to do something, we want to do it really well. So we look for heavy value add multifamily deals. Sometimes we find deals that are heavy renovations, but sometimes we're finding deals that are more operational plays. Either way, whatever deal we buy, we want to be able to add value to the deal. We want to buy it because it's either has rents that are under market, because maybe the units haven't been taken care of, they haven't been upgraded, or maybe just management isn't where it should be. And coming into the deals with our expertise in renovations and being able to increase the rents to market because we're offering a better product, or coming in and changing management companies and basically telling them what our business plan is and executing it is kind of where the value comes in for us and for the investors that we bring into our deals.
Yeah, so with the more value add heavy plays, usually those are a lot riskier than, just buying a building with under market rents and then boosting them up to proven market rents. So how would you guys reduce as much as possible reduce the risk with the heavier value add plays?
Yeah, you're right about them being riskier. First, you have to figure out how you're going to capitalize your capital expenditures. A handful of years ago, we actually used to be able to do bridge, but you have to structure that bridge correctly and make sure that it's not too short and that you have extensions and that you have rate caps, which kind of mitigate the increase in interest rates, which is actually what's happened now, and it's hurting a lot of people. And the other half of it is if you can't use or have it financed, and what we have to do nowadays is we have to actually raise the money to be able to pay the contractor and do the capital expenditures. And so either route, whichever route you take, you have to know that or understand how much the renovations are going to cost. Make sure that you have extra money for contingencies because when you renovate, you could go over budget because you could find extra things that are wrong with the units or that you have to do that you didn't plan for. And that always happens. You don't want to run out of money halfway through because you don't have enough money. So you really have to sit down with your contractor, with your property management company, and figure out what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and make sure that you're well capitalized. And once you do that, then you create a schedule, and we do it in batches. So we actually empty out units and do it in batches. There's other operators that may do it as tenants move out, but the way we do it, we can actually do it at a really quick pace. And then the other half of your question is how do we take our deals down? We're usually the general partner. We have partnered with other and done co-GPs, and sometimes we do that on larger deals when we need a bigger bandwidth, we need more money, we need more ability to raise capital. So it all depends on the deal in how we're going to take it down, what we need, how we're going to structure the debt, what they're going to look for, what kind of raise we have. So depending on what it is kind of what our structure will change and to whatever it takes to make the deal work, basically.
Sure, that's some good information. Yeah, what are you guys seeing in the market today, and how are you structuring your deals for what you're saying?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question because market is tough right now. We have all-time high interest rates, which potentially seem to be becoming the norm. Anything that we thought we'd get any rate cuts this year don't seem like they're going to happen. So going in and structuring these deals and the deals that we see is a little bit more difficult. We're seeing deals, off-market deals in some cases that are being pitched or marketed that they're trying to sell the deal at par with the debt. And in some cases, you have equity that's being wiped out. But what's interesting or sad in some cases is that the deals still don't make sense at what the initial debt is. So you can't go in there and buy them at that. Somebody's going to have to basically take a haircut on what's left to pay down on the debt. And that's because interest rates are so high. And you also have softer rents and lower occupancy in some of the markets. So it's not like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where you can go in and there were such high demand for these units that you can basically increase the rent and people would rent them. Inflation has kind of caused people to take a step back. Everything's costing more money, groceries, cars, clothes, everything else. And because of that, you have some people that are rooming together You also have a lot of new product that's coming online that's making it more difficult. It's competing against the older units and the rent prices. So you can't increase rents. You have to be careful with your occupancy. Prices are a little too high. Some of the owners that want to sell are having a difficult time kind of acknowledging where the market really is today. Meaning they have to lower their price if they want to sell the building. They don't want to lower the price. We don't want to pay more, so it's harder to sell. So it's kind of a tough market right now. There are deals to buy, but you just have to look really hard and talk to a lot of brokers, nurse those relationships, and hopefully you get exposure and maybe you get a chance to buy something that makes sense.
Sure. What markets do you guys cover, and then how did you end up picking those markets?
Well, we'll tell you, we started in California, and that was years ago. First buildings for 15 years were all in California. California is a tough market now because it's the entire state's rent control, and there's a lot of rules within the different cities, and it makes it difficult to navigate. It makes it difficult to renovate units. So we actually sold our last asset in California probably about 8 months ago. So we're out of California. We're very active in Arizona. We love that market. I'm in California, so it makes it really easy to finance for Arizona. We think it's a great market. You have a lot of businesses moving into Arizona, and you have population growing at about 5,500 people a month, which is really big number. And so we love that market. We're very active there. We have some partnerships in Texas. We have some in Florida, and we also operate in North Carolina.
Gotcha. And then those are both value add and then maybe buy and hold. Or how, what's the timeline with those
Well, we
deals?
always, for our acquisitions, we always figure we want to be able to produce a 15% IRR for our investors within about a 5 year period. Our track record has been sooner than that in being able to go full cycle on deals. And that's because I think because the market gave us that to a point. We did what we wanted to do in our business plan, and a little bit of market conditions allowed us to exit in 2, 2.5 years and did great for our investors. But usually we're figuring we want to be hit that hurdle within about a 5 year period. Today's market's a little bit weird, so it's hard to tell, can we exit in 4 years? Can we exit in five? Maybe we have to hold till six. Time will tell with that. The main thing is that you want to operate your asset correctly. You want to keep your occupancy high. You want to make sure you collect all your rent. You want to make sure it cash flows. And you also want to make sure that you're able to distribute to your investors. And if you can do that, you just kind of hold tight and wait till the market conditions change.
Sure. Yeah, because you guys started right before the market, jumped in price, and you got the boost, which is
Right.
awesome. But how do you guys position yourself to be strong even in the down market?
Well, you have to buy it right. And yes, we bought when the market conditions were really good, but we actually haven't stopped buying. We've already bought one asset this year. We're hoping to buy two more before the end of the year. Reason being is that if you buy an asset that you can cash flow the asset, you can service your debt, you can distribute to your investors in today's market conditions, then we think we're putting ourselves in a good position where our investors will benefit alongside of them. It, because when the interest rates come down, we don't know when they'll come down, and if when the absorption continues to clear up the empty units that have come to market, all the new product, two things will happen. One, when occupancy will start increasing in the market, once it starts getting hit into the 90s, mid 90s, then that's kind of a signal for us and everybody else that we can start increasing the rents a little bit. And if you're able to be lucky enough that the interest rates start dropping, then that will increase the valuation on the buildings that we've currently bought and that we continue buying. And that'll give us a higher valuation to be able to give our investors a higher return.
For sure. So what are your plans for the future of your company, and how do you view, the different markets that you maybe expand into, the new partnerships you create? What are your plans there?
Well, first, our plans are to continue growth, to continue acquiring assets, to grow our teams to be able to service those assets. We're not vertically integrated. We actually hire third-party property managements, and we also hire the contractors that work for us. That makes it easier for us to scale. We kind of are able to control them by the business plan and just doing good asset management. So we're looking for growth through acquisitions, and then also being able to grow our team, to be able to provide good service to our investors.
What are you looking for in your team?
It depends as we grow. We're trying to kind of shore up our capital raising right now. It's a little bit more difficult, and I think a lot of the sponsors that are out there struggle a little bit more to raise capital. You have for and that's for different reasons, right? One, because people say investors think, well, where's the market going? Which direction is it going to go? Are we going to have the great foreclosure, meaning a lot of deals coming back to the banks? We are seeing those coming back to the banks, but they're not huge amounts. A lot of banks are working with the borrowers and trying to do workouts so that the banks don't have to take the buildings back, not if they don't have to. So being able to be in a position to raise more capital, to talk to our investors, to kind of teach them and tell them what the real market conditions and what the opportunities are, build that team, and that's social media, advertising, build the systems within the company to be able to handle a larger group of investors, be able to handle more deals. And, it's always about kind of growing and building the systems and just being better from week to week, from day to day.
For sure. Do you think the maybe lack of capital raising, investors kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting for the market to turn, do you think the lack of capital that's out there for groups like you to deploy into opportunities, do you think that hinders you guys from purchasing really good deals?
Lack of access to the capital could hinder that. The market is liquid, except people are kind of hanging on to their money a little bit, hanging on to dry powder. So what we're doing is we're going out and, we're talking to institutional capital, we're talking to high net worth individuals. It's kind of a continual thing. Whether you have a deal or you don't, you always have to continue to build relationships. You want people and investors to know who you are. You want them to know your track record and how you perform. So that never stops. And you just want to be ready that when you do find a deal that you're able to do it. And luckily for us, we have a large enough network. And we also have co-GPs that we can actually reach out to either co-GP, we can do JVs. There's different structures that you can do to be able to make it work. Luckily for us, every deal we've actually put under contract, we've always been able to close.
That's good news. Yeah. So what are the main things that investors should look for when they're investing with groups like yourself? Because this show is dedicated to helping LPs, limited partners, protect and multiply their wealth. So what are the main things they should look for?
Right. So for as an LP coming into a deal, and trying to figure out whether you want to participate in the deal with that particular sponsor or not. One, you want to be able to, first of all, you have to like your sponsor that you want to invest with, but you also have to understand the deal. You have to understand the deal and know why it makes sense for you and why it makes sense to participate. Meaning, What's the business plan? What's the area like? Can the business plan be implemented? Are the rent growth strategies too aggressive? You have to question that, especially nowadays. You want to see if the partners are well funded to take the deal down, to be able to execute on the business plan. You want to understand property management company is, have they worked with them before? How many units do they manage? You know, basically how big are they and their capabilities. You want to understand who the contractor is, what's their capability and experience in renovating units. So you want to look at the whole picture, the deal, how it's coming together, how it's going to be executed, and the history of the general partners slash sponsors. How long have they been in business? How many deals have they done? You know, what the people on their team do. As much as you can, talk to other people, ask about the sponsor, ask for references, and just make sure that whoever you're getting involved with is able to basically take care of your money and is basically working for you. Because at the end of the day, we're providing a service for the investors and giving them the ability to grow their capital. And so we want to be able to do that correctly for them. And whoever you go with as a partner, as a limited partner, you want to be comfortable with them, and hopefully you like them enough and you're successful enough with them that you can continue doing more and more deals and have them help you grow your wealth.
Yeah, so you think the main thing that investors should look for is the operator that they're partnering with, and then the deals obviously follows, because the people that are operating the deal, they're the most important. They're actually managing the property, managing all the investors' capital and their hard-earned money. What is, like, if you could pick one thing that investors should look for in this market specifically, what should that they look for? Because obviously they should look for, different metrics in the deal, IRR. They should look at it
Correct.
as a whole, right? What is the one thing they should look
Well,
for,
let me
the
go
main
back
thing?
real quick about you saying the importance of the sponsor. A good sponsor can make a bad deal turn out really good. But a bad sponsor can make a good deal go bad. See how it's super important to pick somebody that can actually make it happen. Right. So, because without that, you don't have anything. But then to answer your question, as far as what one important thing that an investor should look at is one, return of capital and distributions. And the other important question is ask what the sponsor is doing to be able to avoid to do capital calls. Because some sponsors have plenty of money. They can do 100, 200,000 per deal. They can keep doing it. Some of the sponsors that don't capitalize correctly or don't manage correctly are having to come back and ask for and do capital calls. Well, sometimes the investors may have the money and sometimes they may not. So you don't want to go with a sponsor that has the probability of doing that. You kind of want to do the reverse. Get involved with a sponsor that will be able to give distributions and not have the risk of asking for additional capital to come in.
Yeah. What are things that investors can look for upfront in a deal that can help reduce the risk of the capital call?
Well, looking a little bit of what the business plan looks like, what the renovations entail, and how they're going to get funded. Also, kind of finding out, okay, what are the reserves? How much money are you reserving? If you're reserving 100,000 or 200,000 on a 200 unit deal, that's probably not enough. You probably need to reserve $1 million, maybe $2 million, just to make sure you have extra money to be able to go and do the renovations. Even if you have too much, as a sponsor, that's not a bad position to be in, because when you're done with renovations and the building's fully stabilized, you can always give that money back. So it's better to be in that position rather than being in the position where you ran out of money halfway and then you have to go back and do capital calls. That's kind of a super important point, I think, that investors should look at, just to see how the deal is structured and what it looks like for them for the duration of the hold.
For sure. Yeah, that's super important. So yeah, what sets you guys apart from other firms? Yeah, because you've scaled this firm very quickly. What sets you guys apart? How do you create a better risk-adjusted return for investors?
I think the skills that we bring to the table collectively as a team, the ability to manage contractors, especially because of my building background, I'm able to pick contractors. I'm able to write the contracts where they have teeth, basically, where the contractor will stay on schedule because he has the capability. So us as a team were able to control that. The other half is having the finance background and bringing that to the table puts us in a really good position to be able to structure the deals correctly, because many times the deals make sense based on the capital structure that you put into the deal. And I have a real good example. We just finished renovating a 150 unit building out in Phoenix that we purchased at the end of October of 2022. And we did full renovations on that building in 16 months flat. We maintained about an 80% occupancy, and we increased the rents on that building about $500 a month per unit. So that's kind of proof, and we've done multiple ones in pretty much in lightning speed, where we can get in and have our contractors in place, have a good schedule put in place, and the contractors can actually manage their material supply so that they never run out of material during the renovation period. And working in tandem with our property management company, moving the tenants around, getting the batches ready to give to the contractor, and also the leasing part of it that comes right behind. And as soon as the batches are given to us, we're moving tenants in and being basically stabilized in about 18 months. And so we finished that building in March. Now we're at 98% occupancy in about a mid 80 to high 80 occupancy market right now in Phoenix.
Sure. Yeah, even though your firm is very young, I mean, you have what, eight, is it 18 years experience in
We
management?
have, well, we've been buying multifamily since I started. It's probably about 24 years buying multifamily, from going smaller buildings to larger buildings. So we have a lot of experience doing that. We have the property management experience, and having the property management company allows us to work really close with the management companies that we hire. And then, like I said, the construction background and the finance background gives us a good skill set to be able to manage these buildings and be able to produce the results that we want to. And the project that I'm talking about, that I was telling you about right now, we're actually giving out distributions already. And that's pretty good in today's market to be able to do that, where a lot of people are struggling just to stay alive and make the interest payments.
Yeah, especially those value add deals. That's huge. So how can investors get in contact with you, Danny?
Well, our website is www.primecapi.com. They can reach us, they can reach me through there. And then we can also put up our information on the screen if you want, if you have that, and they can call us there.
Sounds good, Danny.
All
Thank you for
right,
joining us.
Preston, thank you so much.